Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University and is a licensed chiropractor with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Put your seatbelts on. Put your seatbelts on. This is one of my favorite topics, low back and neck pain. Musculoskeletal pain. I've hit this before, but we're going to hit it again. Because today, still, as every year we find out, low back, neck pain, within the top three reasons why people miss work every year. Billions upon billions of dollars spent on this, and in my opinion, we're not getting there. Obviously, it's still the number two or number three reason why people miss work each and every day in the United States. A little backdrop here. I went to chiropractic school, as you well know, graduated from Cleveland Chiropractic College in Los Angeles in 1994. I was the class valedictorian. I was supposed to get the clinician's award. I'm not tooting my horn. There's a reason I tell you this. I had great hands and all the academics to boot, and guess what? In 2,500 hours at Cleveland Chiropractic College in Los Angeles, which is now out of business, I mind you, they've merged with their mother school in Kansas. And I tell you, it was a good school. But here's my point. I spent over 2,000 hours in their clinic, got enough of a reputation to be nominated for the clinic award, meaning best hands, but couldn't take it simply because I was their valedictorian. 2,400 hours or so, something like that, and I didn't see one chronic neck pain or low back pain cure. Cure. I want you to digest that. You go to a fantastic chiropractic school. You study for 7,000 hours against 3.5 years of hard work. You know, chiropractic school, you're up in the morning at 5:30. You're lucky if you can get breakfast in. You're in class at 7 a.m. You get out at 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You got lots of study. You have lots of insane teachers hired in the chiropractic schools because they can't get university jobs. Not that that means they're bad teachers. It's just there's not enough university jobs to go around. And these teachers are hungry. They want to teach you the sciences like they would in any grad school anywhere in the country, and they do. Chiropractic school is hard. Make no mistake about it. You accumulate 7,000 hours, and then you get into the clinic. And you spend a year and a half in the clinic, over 2,000 hours, and you don't see one low back pain case, one neck pain case cure. Now, I didn't say acute. I didn't say people didn't come in there with all sorts of, you know, I woke up this morning and I had neck or low back pain and in a week or two it's gone. I didn't say that. I'm talking about what the public will spend money for. I'm talking about what on the free market, in the world of competitive American trade, people will attach value, hard-earned dollars to a service. And that's chronic low back and neck pain. That's the kind of stuff that I should have seen cure, and I did not. And one reason was, in chiropractic school at the time, this is 1992, 1993, up to 1994, in our clinic there, we were told to adjust the spine, crack the back. And whether it was an invasive technique where you heard the bones go crack, or whether it was a non-invasive technique, didn't matter. That's what you did, and then you could throw on a little bit of physical therapy. And I didn't see it work. I just did not. which doesn't mean I don't believe in chiropractors, because lots of chiropractors concluded that they had to integrate it with things like nutrition and flexibility and strengthening, et cetera, et cetera. But the strict regimen, the standard of care, what we were told to do was crack backs. It's just like when I went to acupuncture school. I did a year at the Tri-State Institute of Traditional Chinese Acupuncture, owned by a wonderful gentleman named Mark Seam in New York City, and then came back and enrolled in SAMRA, which is now out of business. You know, a lot of these schools come in and out of business for reasons that we're going to sort of tap on today. But as it relates to low back and neck pain, again, in acupuncture school, I saw the same thing happen. You stick them with needles, you twist the needles around, you move the energy, and voila, it's supposed to happen. And if you talk to the graduates and you sit them down in honesty, you see, honesty, you see, you get their heads calm so they can really take a look at, in the frenzied pace of an academic curriculum, after they graduate, they can ask themselves one question. And that one question is, how many times, graduate, did you take someone with chronic neck or back pain? Meaning, I had it for 6 months, I had it a year, I had it 3 years, I had it 5 years. And how many times did you see that kind of person come back and say, I have changed drastically in my pain levels, or I don't have any more low back and neck pain. It's gone. How many times, prospective graduate? Well, I can tell you that those numbers are alarmingly low, which is better than doing a surgery if it's unnecessary, which is better than living on painkillers for the rest of your life. But there's a reason. There is a reason, and anybody that wants to challenge that reason, please submit your case studies. You see, but when you hold people to that standard, real in vivo, live analysis of how chronic neck and back pain is managed by the American holistic healthcare system, acupuncture, chiropractic, so on and so forth, they do not deliver. Which is not to say, I'm going on record, because we got lots of chiropractors and acupuncturists gaining the information. That's not to say there are not independent chiropractors and acupuncturists and naturopaths and massage therapists who are working very hard and very diligently. I'm talking about the standards out of the educational system. But that's a good place to start. Something's wrong. Google it up yourself. Number two or number three reason people miss work each day, low back and neck pain. Billions upon billions of dollars spent on this sort of an issue. Okay. That's why you need to listen. Now, basic fundamental concepts when you have low back pain. Let me define a couple of these terms for you. These are the things you're going to hear your orthopedist, because it's usually where you go first. Your orthopedist or the physical therapist, and they give you some highfalutin diagnosis that you don't really understand, but it sounds spooky. Whether you've been told you have spinal cord compression, disc herniation, disc desiccation, disc bulge, degenerative disc disease, facet syndrome, lateral recess stenosis, myofascial syndrome, fibromyalgia, trigger point syndromes, there's six or seven off the top of my head. Whether you've been told any of these things, many of the solutions, the permanent solutions, are outside the realm of you walk into the doctor and they put needles in you. You walk into the doctor and they massage your gluteal muscles or a low back. You walk into the doctor and they give you some sort of compressive therapies. Trust me on this, please. If you go about curing musculoskeletal pain with the quick fix solution, you don't have to do a thing, Mr. Smith. Just come on in and lie down. If you do that and you really study the results, you're going to find them alarmingly low. Meaning what? Do they help? Yes, they help. Yes, every quick fix in the book helps. Is it cost effective? See, there's the problem. Doctors are slaves to insurance companies because many of these therapies are not cost effective. And so the public won't pay cash for the therapy. And the insurance companies are long past the generation where they were going to pay heavy reimbursement. You've got to understand this, my good public, so we can all raise the bar here. And because of that, you have this problem where the public doesn't want to pay cash, and the practitioner providing the therapy with their licenses, et cetera, in order, builds insurance out, and your insurance doesn't cover it. There's a reason insurance doesn't cover it. The actuaries, the guys you don't fool. You know what an actuary is? I told you this once before on another show. An actuary is a high school student that's so darn smart in math that he doesn't study at all. Calculus is second nature. He plays chess in the back of the classroom while the teacher teaches calculus. He gets a 750 to 800 on the SATs. Usually he gets about a 300 in English. So he's a certain kind of nerd. Not a computer nerd, a math nerd. They look at the grades and they grab these guys, scholarship them to college, or in college just drag them out and start them with six figures. They give them an actuarial test at the insurance company. And these guys crunch numbers. They sit in a room and crunch numbers. They don't do radio shows. They're not out there in the public forum. They don't run for president or governor, but these guys know how to count. They know how to interpret statistics. I knew some of them back when I got out of chiropractic school in 94. And these guys were willing to tell their insurance companies that they worked for to reimburse. They were willing to go to the board to say, pay the public for these treatments. They were happy to do it, but they said they didn't see the statistics. And there I sat at a chiropractic school in 94, 95, listening to some of these guys in New York talk like this at restaurant coffee breaks and saying to myself, wow, that's fascinating. All the hunky-dory I heard in chiropractic school that I didn't see. And now I'm listening to the numbers guys tell me the stats don't cut it. Wow. That felt great after 4 years and God knows how much money. So, the point. Number one, these quick fix therapies are well intentioned. There are many doctors that understand what I'm talking about from all modalities. If you are trying to fix your low back and neck pain with single quick fix therapies, and you've had it for a year, 2 years, 3 years, start thinking with me, Dr. Vincent Medici, Straight Talk on Health, outside the box. You've got to go outside the box, good public. All right. There we go. You got to go outside the box. And I am Dr. Vincent Medici, and we are over our little power failure here up in Ventura County. And that's what happened this morning. I guess it was that horrible storm we had. What was it, about 2 drops of rain? That takes down the city. All right, the show we're going to do today on joint pain. And the issue is, each year we have 500,000 knee replacements. Each year we have 300,000 hip replacements. Each year we have 60,000 shoulder replacements. I can promise you, even in the 45 minutes we have remaining, that if you really take into yourself what I have to say, you're going to understand how excessive and unnecessary those joint replacement surgeries actually are. We could reduce these numbers dramatically. But to do that, and this is the point, you have to get the education. But I mean deeper than the normal use of the term education. And this is the point. You have to get a functional education. In other words, when people talk to you about subjects in the health community, topic, when you listen to radio shows, when you read articles, when you listen to your doctors, trying to figure out whether or not you're the one that needs joint replacement or can you fix this holistically, you cannot afford to just be given terms or mechanistic perspectives, meaning go do this, go do that, take this herb, do this exercise, go into a pose and stretch your joint to prevent your knee pain. That's not education, and I want you to catch this. There's a theme on this show, and the theme is that your education has to be functional. So when the rubber meets the road in the moment of the activity, when you're stretching, when you're lifting the weights, when you're doing the cleanses, when you're taking the nutrition. You have to have a visceral, a gut level connection to the action. Are you connecting to the task? Are you connecting viscerally to the piece of information you're being given? An actor, we understand this in the arts, right? An actor can simply not read lines off a script and have that called a performance. A musician without training cannot simply pick up a musical instrument and blow into it and expect that to be called music. Anybody doing anything has to inhabit that space. And this is what we're missing. So I'm going to lay down over the next 40 minutes concepts, as always, functional concepts. You've got 74 hours of functional concepts to get into. That's the difference. That's the difference between this and YouTube and a lot of books and a lot of data. We've become enamored. We have a love affair with data. So let's take the first concept. The first concept, if you have joint pain, if you've been told your joint, your knee, your neck, your elbow, your shoulder, your hip, your ankle, if you've been told it's degenerated on the basis of an X-ray, backed up by a CT scan, backed up by a diagnostic ultrasound, and you've been told it's time to replace your joint, consider this. Consider that that joint is deteriorating because you don't have the proper alignment. Now, I think conceptually you understand. If the vectors of force, if the lines of force through the joint are not correct, the joint is going to deteriorate. That just makes sense. You understand that. That's a basic concept. Common to many, many, many systems of analysis. If you're building a house, if you don't know anything about your knees or your hip, but you're a carpenter and you're building a house, if you don't build the house on the correct foundation, then you're not going to have a house stand too long. That house is going to fall sooner or later. So, the concept of alignment, then, is something that we all understand. The point, though, is, what does it mean to you that's bigger than just a silly word? Alignment means when you're stretching your body, and we'll talk about stretching for a moment, you have to feel a shift in that body part. If you have an arthritic shoulder, if you have pain and arthritis and degeneration in the knee, when you're finished stretching that segment, stretching that knee, you've got to feel a shift in the way the weight goes through the joint. You have to feel a change in the way that joint orients spatially. Like you would say, if I was watching you in your living room, stretch out your shoulder. And you can find out how to stretch your shoulder. Are those books and physical therapists and chiropractors and massage therapists and Pilates instructors? They all know how to teach you to stretch your shoulder. Go look on YouTube. If you've got shoulder pains, go on YouTube and look at how you can stretch your shoulder. That's not the purpose of taking the time to listen to this show. What they're leaving out, what they always leave out, is what you're supposed to feel. And what you're supposed to feel if you're stretching your shoulder is a shift, a change in the way that shoulder feels posturally, like your shoulder's in a different place. That's number one. Number two, you're supposed to feel if it's a weight-bearing joint, like the hip or the knee or the ankle, the foot. You're supposed to feel if it's weight-bearing, the weight, the line of gravity, is supposed to move into the joint at a, in a different place so the joint feels more stable. Now, I want you to take a look at that. I want you to understand now that the way I'm defining the stretch for you so you can get alignment, so your vectors of force through the joint can be more optimal, is about something you should feel. If you lined up all the people in the United States that were being given counsel about how to rehabilitate a joint through physical therapy, from chiropractic to physical therapy, and you watched them, as I have for 20 years, and asked them, do you feel the gravity line shift through the joint? They would look at you blank. That's really big. Because if they're looking at you blank, if they don't understand what they're supposed to feel, then just because they're going through the motions, there is no real way to determine whether or not they're actually succeeding in the stretch. They're just the actor reading the script and not acting. They're just the boxer hitting the heavy bag, but nobody's falling down. And this is how, unfortunately, we traverse physical therapy. So when the orthopedic surgeons kick back and they look at your knee and your shoulder and your hip and they say, there's nothing you can do, physical therapy won't work, they're correct, it won't work. But unfortunately, it assumes that it's going to be taught to you incorrectly, which it almost always is. And I would add that to chiropractic, and I would add that to yoga, I would add that to Pilates. I think we're missing the point on physical therapy in general. You have to have a visceral connection. You have to have a connection from your body into the stretch. You cannot say change alignment unless you can feel that change. Another big one, number two. You have to feel circulation into the joint. If you're stretching a joint and you don't feel warmth invade the joint, if you're stretching the joint and you don't feel that good warm feeling invade the joint, circulation into the joint, you're not shifting the electrical field. You're not turning on the biofield. You're not sending current into the site. If you're stretching and you're not shifting your alignment and you're not sending current into the joint, it's not going to work. This concept of feeling warmth into the joint as you stretch. You know, some of you listening understand this because you've been doing it your whole life and you don't even know it. You haven't identified it. You have to identify it. Not to identify it is to deny you your great ability to feel current into the joint when you stretch. And if you haven't felt it and you're not feeling it, you've got to understand you cannot expect these therapies to work until you do feel current into the joint. Do you understand why your orthopedic surgeons, your neurosurgeons, think so poorly of holistic practices intended to save joint replacement? And justifiably so, they think so poorly, because most of the therapy that's dispersed, that's appropriated, doesn't even deal correctly with both of these concepts. So law one, you've got to feel that shift in your alignment. Law two, you've got to feel the electrical field turn on in the joint. Number three, if you're trying to rehab a shoulder or a joint, and you're thinking focally about that joint instead of systemically about all your joints, you've missed the boat. I see chiropractors. People do this all the time. Physical therapists, even more so. You've got a bad shoulder. We're going to show you how to stretch the shoulder. As if the knee and the ankle and the hip aren't part of the shoulder. And honestly, if you want to know, one of their prejudices is because the insurance companies will only pay them to spend their time, money, and energy focused on the body part that's up for joint replacement. How's that for the ultimate rip-off? If your knee does not look good on a CT scan and your surgeon says, time to replace it, Charlie, and Charlie says, I'm doing physical therapy. I'm not getting that knee replaced. My brother did, and it's been a bad scene since. If Charlie goes to the physical therapist or the chiropractor, and either the physical therapist and the chiropractor want to be paid, which is okay, right? If they want to be paid, they only get paid to work on Charlie's knee. That's absurd. If the healthcare provider, the doctor's got to spend 3, 4, 6, 10 hours with Charlie, teaching Charlie to stretch Charlie's whole body. The hip is as important as the knee. The ankle helps the hip. Everybody's talking to everybody. They can't get paid for it. If they submit a claim to your insurance company, and your insurance company says, why are you spending 12 hours teaching Charlie to stretch his knee, and you're really teaching Charlie the whole body experience, you're not going to get paid. They're not going to pay you for 12 hours of therapy on the knee. So you know what? Nobody works systemically. That's massive in its importance. That's a massive concept. Because the system is set up for you to feel like you should be reimbursed because you've seen an orthopedic surgeon for a joint replacement. And therefore, you go to your chiropractor or your physical therapist or whoever, and you expect to be reimbursed, so you want to use your healthcare plan. But the reality is your practitioner isn't going to be paid to teach you what it's necessary for them to teach you. Do you think they tell you that? Do you think your holistic provider says, Charlie, here's the scene. I can't get paid to teach you what you're supposed to know, so I'm not going to teach you. I'm just going to leave out the rest of your body and not tell you, because, of course, common sense would dictate, if it's your knee, we'll focus on your knee. This is how the consumer gets ripped off all the time. So number one, we've kind of botched up teaching people alignment. Number two, this concept of circulation or turning the electrical field into the joint is almost non-existent. Number three, we focus on the body part that the patient complains of because that's what common sense dictates. That's 0-3. Really, really big concepts. And if we don't apply solutions to those concepts, you're on your way to surgery by the time you're 60. And your surgeon's happy to oblige. And your surgeon is being ethical. Don't get me wrong. I really don't like it when people think that this show is about attacking doctors, because it's not. Your orthopedic surgeons are just looking out there, and they're trying to understand what they see. And they're slanted on two levels. Number one, when a surgeon doesn't believe in any of this alternative or holistic perspective to save a joint, when they don't believe it, they tell you, look, I don't believe it because I haven't seen it. People believe their surgeons. And so when people drink the Kool-Aid and they go home and sit on the couch, lament this costly, painstaking surgery that's got lots of side effects we'll get into later, then nothing changes. And in the end, the patient gets the joint surgery because they don't do anything. So the surgeon fulfills his own prophecy. But the other part of it that makes your medical doctor righteous, truly righteous, is they don't actually see results. Too often, they don't see. They see the holistic therapies fail. And after a surgeon's been around 20 years, there's no one in their family that's had success. There's nobody out in the neighborhood or at their church that's had success. And so objectively, outside their profession, in the comfort of their country club, over summer brunch, talking to friends, and finding out, no, these things don't fulfill their promise, the surgeon feels justified at saying, look, I didn't read about it in medical school, and I don't see it at the country club, so I'm telling you, Charlie, you're going to need a knee replacement. I can't promise you anything or even support the claim physical therapy is going to work. So this is never a criticism of your surgeon. They're just telling you what they see. If anything, this is a criticism of our own holistic therapies. Because our holistic therapy should be understanding alignment. And they should be understanding the electrical field into the joint. And often they say they do, but they don't ever translate it to the patient. And that's why you listen to this show. Now, another concept. Okay? Another concept. Flexibility, which is what you have to tend to create alignment. The first step in flexibility, in teaching it, in experiencing it, is you have to feel the tension in the muscles controlling the joints. So to get alignment, to feel the weight shift, to feel the postural shift is key. To do that, you have to stretch. But to stretch correctly, rather than what you're going to see mindlessly on YouTube, other than that, you're going to have to feel the tension in the joint. Feeling the tension in the joint. When you stretch, you have to be supervised, or you have to figure it out yourself. But invariably, when you stretch all these body parts, the scalenes, the pec minor, the diaphragm, the thoracic spine, the rectus abdominis, the quadratus lumborum, the transversus abdominis, the rectus femoris, all the gluteal muscles, the hamstrings, particularly the semimembranous, behind the knee, the belly of the calf, the lower leg, the Achilles tendon, and then the fascia of the sole of your foot. When you stretch all these body parts, and if you're new to the show, get to the website, straighttalk.cc, because I've done a whole show on stretching in the past. Any one of my exercise shows relate to this show. But when you stretch all these body parts, really you have to train yourself to feel the tension in each body part. To feel the tension. Now here's the subtlety. Lots of people, if you watch them stretch, when they come up against their tension, when you start to feel the tension, they back off. They back off immediately. They run away from the tension. It's like running away from conflict. Conflict in everyday life. You start to feel it, you run away. Or some people start to feel it and they try to bore through it like a bull. Both of those extremes are ineffective when you stretch. Both of those extremes are ineffective in life. The art of negotiating the stress out of a joint, to negotiate the stress out of a joint, is just like negotiating the stress out of human relations. You have to meet it with power, not force, which means you have to push. But if you push too hard, then you destroy. That's the secret of stretching into the joint. If you've got a shoulder problem and you're stretching into the pectoralis area, if you've got a knee problem and you're stretching behind the hamstring, behind the knee, you've got to meet that tension, and it's got to hurt a little. It's got to hurt good. You got to feel it. You understand this. You got to feel it. But you can't feel it to the point where it hurts bad. Now, this is something you learn to finesse. And people who are sympathetic dominant, so here we go, integrating. People who are sympathetic dominant aren't so good at that. People who are sympathetic dominant, whose body systems are burned out to the point where they've lost discretion. They've lost bodily connection because the nervous system is so dominant to their life. That's what stress is. Stress is focusing on things outside the body. Stress implies you stop listening to the body. when you stop listening to the body to the point where you can't finesse bodily function, this is when stretching doesn't work. Because you don't know the balance between not hard enough and overdoing it. But assuming you've got some autonomic, sympathetic, parasympathetic balance, see my other shows if you're confused. Assuming you've got that autonomic balance, you've got to feel the tension. So, you're up for joint replacement. Find the tension all over the body. Bring yourself to the edge where the good pain lives. Expect to see the weight distribute through the weight-bearing joint, meaning hips, knees, feet, ankles, spine. Expect to see that weight shift. Expect to feel your body holding a different posture naturally. Now, those ridiculous things where we pull our shoulders back, you ever see that? Somebody slouching over the computer and the teacher comes by and hits them in the back of the head. 1960, Catholic school. You get smacked if you don't hold the right posture. We've all been hit in the back of the head for that, some of us. And so you pull up and you pull back and you straighten up. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when the body, after stretching, just holds a natural position. So you're finding the tension, you're holding the natural position, and then most importantly, you're getting circulation into that joint. And that circulation's, believe me, not just blood. That circulation are your nerve sensors picking up the shift in the magnetic field into the joint. When I say circulation, when I say turning on the biofield, when I say turning on the electrical current into the joint, I'm not just talking about blood. I'm talking about your nerve sensors picking up the shift in the magnetic field into the joint. If you've got even this much, you've got it down. So, I want you guys, as you always do, I want you to write into the show and comment and tell me that you know what I'm talking about. Would you please do that? Because it tells me we can accomplish this verbally over that great, great media form, radio, which asks you to go into your own mental theater, which asks you to apply your senses. If you really study radio, you understand that in the 1920s, before we had TV, people would gather around a fireplace and listen to the radio. And this theater of the mind, created by the speaker, would stimulate all your sensory mechanisms in ways that visuals don't. You got to get that to apply the body systems you need to apply to successful rehab of a joint is almost, in a sense, more effective without the visual. It's a very counterintuitive, it's definitely a counterculture concept. But I want you to get this. I want to take a moment here to explore this with you. We've gone from sitting around a fire 200 years ago telling stories where the storyteller would bring people into a visceral, an organic, visceral, gut-level connection to the vibration out of the voice. We've transformed that sacred act into collecting data on the internet, and that's advancing civilization. Now, yeah, there's another side to that. Okay, but I'll tell you right now, anytime somebody comes into my office with data they've collected on the internet, I just tell you this is just an observation. I'm not saying one thing or the other, but anytime somebody comes in with all the data they've collected on the internet, I am almost guaranteed that they're sympathetic dominant and that their healing journey is going to be very, very slow, if at all. Because to walk into a doctor's office on the supposition that the fact that you've gathered data is going to bring you to that higher level isn't really what creates the healing. Think about that one. Okay. You're up for a hip replacement. You're up for a knee replacement. You're up for a joint replacement. You're under the care of a physical therapist, a chiropractor, a Pilates instructor, a massage therapist, a yoga therapist. They're all showing you how to stretch. Now you understand you got to find the tension. Then you've got to get the alignment shift. Then you've got to feel the circulation. The other thing you've got to do to rehab a joint is make sure the joint has strength in the tendons surrounding the joint. You've got to stabilize the joint by strengthening the tendons that control the joint. It's not just stretching the joint, it's strengthening the joint. But it's a certain type. It is a certain type of strengthening that unfortunately a lot of people don't know about. They don't practice it. It's the type of strengthening that comes from stretching the joint as much as you can to where the tendon is pulling and then taking a short contraction of about 10 to 15 degrees. So I'll give you an example, chin-ups. That chin-up that we all could do at one time. You ever see those people cheat in the gym? When they're doing the chin-up, they get their chin above the bar, and then they drop down just a little bit, and then they come up a little bit, and then they drop down a little bit, and then they sit over a beer later on in the evening and say they did 15 chin-ups. They didn't do one chin-up. You know those people. The cheaters. That chin-up is supposed to be the chin over the bar, and then you're supposed to drop down, hanging from the bar, so your arms are straight. Now, the contraction I'm talking about is the contraction from the straight position up about 15 degrees. Because that's about 1/6 of the way up. That's when you're engaging the tendon. That's strengthening the joint, in this case, the elbow. But you can do that with the knee. You can do that with the Achilles tendon, the ankle. There are so many joints of the body. And again, I can't show you this or take the time to describe it right now. We missed a little bit. We got a little cut off today. But the point is that to strengthen the tendon in the ankle, the knee, the hip, the shoulder, the elbow, the wrist is so much a part of rehabbing the arthritic joint, the painful joint, the joint that's degraded to the point where they're going to replace the joint. So strengthening the tendon. So we're finding the tension. We're shifting the alignment. We're feeling the energy, the chi, the biofield, the electrical force into the joint. Then we're strengthening the tendon. Last but not least, absolutely critical, always overlooked, is removing the adhesions. Removing adhesions. That knee is going to have to be, once that knee is ready, once it's prepped, once the knee is prepped, prepared, conditioned, tenderized by all these things I just mentioned, somebody's got to grab that knee with a big strong hand and cross fiber around the joint. In fact, somebody's got a cross fiber across the entire body to work out the adhesions, because much of joint decay has to do with granules of lactic acid locked into the blood, locked into the joint, that constantly annoy, irritate the nerve sensors. And you can hit it with all the anti-inflammatories you want. I'm going to give 10 seconds to that subject today. You can hit it with all the anti-inflammatories you want. But if your adhesions, meaning your scars, have locked up the lactic acid granules into the exterior of the joint, unless you physically flush them out, you're not going to get the total relief. You have to cross fiber out the adhesion. You can't even get the alignment unless you cross fiber out the scar. You can't get the electrical field into the joint unless you cross fiber out the scar. And mind you, very important here is the magma clay and the castor oil. Magma clay, castor oil, hot and cold therapy on the joint. Fantastic therapies. So if you can take an anti-inflammatory oil, pick whatever you want. An anti-inflammatory oil. They've got these sorts of eucalyptus, cayenne, droll vasodilators made into oils. And they wrap around the joint. And then you take the hot flannel soaked in castor oil with a contoured wrap around the joint. You can get these wraps around the shoulder, around the elbow, around the knee, even around the hip, around the neck. And these wraps go on top of the hot castor oil on the hot flannel, which is on top of the heating oil you used. And you can vasodilate, and it starts to dissolve the scar tissue. That's heat. Or you can do the magma black clay therapy. You put it over the joint. If it's your neck, you put it on your hands also. If it's your elbow, you still put it on your hands. If your shoulder, you still put it on your hands. If it's your knee, you put it on your foot. It doesn't work on the hip. The hip's too thick. If you want to take the magma clay and you want to put it on your joints, get into an infrared sauna. If you don't have any health problems that would basically be dangerous for you, and that's your judgment. But if you get clearance from your doctor to get into an infrared sauna, put the black magma clay on different body parts, especially the hip in this case, but any body part. Get in there and let the clay under the heat sink into the joint and then flush it off with ice cold water. Or do the hot salt water jacuzzi and then get into the ice pool. Hot cold therapy like they do in Scandinavia. Any of these things are fantastic degranulators to the joint. All the acidifiers and inflammatory exudates that live in the joint, from the uric acid crystals to calcium hydroxyapatite crystals to calcium oxalate crystals, all of these things will hyperfuse out of the joint if you pulse the joint. But you have to pulse. Just doing heat without cold is not good enough. Heat alone will break up the adhesions. It's the pumping mechanism of the heat cold. Look at that. Look at what we've done in 40 minutes. Take this into yourself. Get on the website and listen to it. StraightTalk.cc. If you don't want that joint replaced, this show will turn your therapy into something functional. And then you can add to it with your other healthcare providers. All of them are good, but not if they don't get the point across. So find the tension, shift the alignment, rebuild the tendons, remove the adhesions, get the electrical field turned on into the joint. That means feel warmth in the joint when you do your therapy. Then apply a topical aid from the clay to the castor oil, the hot cold therapies, the infrared saunas, and keep working at it. And every time you do these things, ask yourself, do you feel a little better? Don't judge the therapy on the basis of how you feel 8 hours later after you've gone back to fixing the car. Judge the therapy on the basis, this is very important, judge the therapy on the basis of how you feel during and after the therapy. You don't feel so good in the joint before the therapy. An hour later, you feel great or better or 15% better after the therapy. If you go into any of these therapies when you have moderate to severe joint degeneration, if you go into any of these therapies delusional, you're going to come out disappointed. Delusion creates disappointment. That's how a lot of people would sum up their last 50 years. Delusion creates disappointment. So let's not delude ourselves here. If you do functional therapies, not irrelevant data-ridden therapies, if you do functional therapies with a realistic expectation, you're going to be a happy camper and you're going to get the return on your time, on your money, and on your energy. Now, nutrition, my favorite subject. Another one of my favorite nutritional subjects. Don't take herbs for joint pain and work at the exclusion of everything else. Take herbs for joint pain. Take your herbs or your nutraceuticals for joint pain in addition to everything else. And if you're just one of those people that swears that glucosamine help them dramatically, God bless you. But I will assure you, on the witness stand, you're one in 20,000. Believe me, I wouldn't be doing this show if the solution for joint pain were glucosamine or MSM or all the herbal anti-inflammatories like cat's claw, boswellic acid, curcumin, essential fatty acids, krill oil, the whole slew of these things. If this is what you take for joint pain and then add five of them together, and that's what you take for joint pain, including, of course, your vitamin D and your chiral minerals, and that got rid of joint pain by itself, I wouldn't be doing this show. Those things are fantastic in addition to the other things. You've got to get that straight. Now, another one of my favorite topics, nutritionally speaking. If you're spending money on herbs to clean your gallbladder, which is going to tremendously accelerate the rate at which you degranulate the joint, meaning move uric acid, calcium crystals, etc., out of the joint, and that's where you spend your money on the herbs, bingo, bullseye, bravo. That's what you do. That's, to me, the way you spend money on your herbs. And that's a guidance you've been given on my other 73 shows. In other words, 73 hours of fundamental concepts that ask you to call to action your lifestyle. Look at that. I just love this show. Think about this. We did 500,000 knee replacements last year. We did 300,000 hip replacements. We did 60,000 shoulder replacements. And those are probably conservative numbers. How many people don't do these replacements and have seen every chiropractor, every physical therapist, every orthopedic surgeon, every Pilates yoga massage instructor, and they're still living in pain? You don't need to. You can reduce it dramatically. You've simply got to get the concepts down. Otherwise, forget it. I graduated class valedictorian in 1994 from Cleveland Chiropractic School in Los Angeles. They're not with us anymore, unfortunately. Didn't profess enough fundamental concepts, I think, and the public found out. But that wonderful education that I got at that wonderful school nonetheless, okay, didn't teach these concepts. There wasn't enough functional information. And if you go to and do a nutritional approach It's not about what herb fixes your joint. It's about what in the herbal kingdom supports a fundamental shift in your physiology, which supports the cure for your joint. So if you're doing this stuff and you have anemia, you got to fix it. If you don't sleep well, you don't get your anti-inflammatories because you don't make your cortisol. So you got to fix that. If you're not eating right and you're not digesting your protein, or you're protein deficient because you're vegetarian, how are you supposed to repair the joint? If you're living in radiation because your right foot or left foot is on a gas or a brake pedal in a car where the radiation is off the charts. If your acid alkaline balance is way up. If you don't have the anti-inflammatories produced in your flora, your gut flora, because your ecology there is all off. If your teeth are bad. And we can go on and on and on and on. There's the nutrition you want an understanding of. And if you spend money on herbs to reduce the anemia, the sleep issue, the protein deficiency, the radiation, the acid alkaline issues, that's money well spent. Get off the symptom herb mentality. Unless you try it once, always try it once. But if you don't get the answer, look at the massive insight here into why you may have your joint replaced when you don't have to. Another good reason, or two, or three, or four, or ten, not to get the joint replaced. If you replace the knee, a complete knee replacement, try to get the partial. If you can get your orthopedic surgeon to be kind enough to do the partial, do the partial. Because if you do the complete knee replacement, your knee will not bend past 90 degrees. And anytime you put titanium in the body, that'll create a biofilm. A biofilm is an infective source that can pollute the whole body. And they're not going to tell you this, so joint replacements are costly. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to the website. Hear this show again. We'll see you next week. God bless you.
Been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. And the best part, you can call in live with your health questions every week. For those of you still holding for Dr. Medici, stay on hold. He'll continue to answer calls for as long as it takes. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. And remember, to contact his office for an appointment, call Rachel or Johanna at 310-320-1132. That's 310-320-1132. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA.